Hey, I want to call your attention to some scripture. If you would like to read along with me, turn to Philippians chapter 2. And I want to begin reading there with verse 12. But before I begin the scripture reading today, I'd like to make just a couple of comments here. In the song that we just heard in the verse that Emma sang, it mentioned our attitude. And I had shared this with some a while back. I think maybe it might have been on a Wednesday evening. But I said I was having a talk with a young lady, I don't know, maybe a year or two back. And I told her, she was kind of out of line about some things, and I told her, I said, listen, I said, it will be your attitude and not your aptitude that will determine your altitude. And she looked at me and said, huh? And I realized that I guess that was a little bit strong for my five-year-old granddaughter. But that's true, and certainly as adults, and especially as Christian adults, we certainly ought to be able to embrace that our attitude is extremely important. It's important that we have an attitude that's according to the Word of God, and I want to also say that, and may ask you. That are here today, if you think back to the time when you were lost, do you remember times in your lost condition when it was not easy for you to hear the Word of God preached? I remember times when the gospel would make me extremely uncomfortable. But you know what? I also have encountered many times after I was saved when the Word of God would do the same thing. And the thoughts that the Lord has placed upon my heart today, I'm not going to be one bit surprised if there's few amens. I'm not going to be surprised if it's, if the crowd is somewhat silent. I'm certainly not going to be surprised if it doesn't produce shouting. But I'm going to share with you today what the Lord placed upon my heart, and I certainly ask for your prayers. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. And it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now listen to this next verse. And listen, there's no way to misunderstand what Paul was saying here. He said, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And you know, we could look at that and we could say, well, preacher, we're human. That's not possible. Well, Paul knew we were human when he wrote it under inspiration. Very matter of fact, he said, do all things without murmurings and disputings. He said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. And I'm going to stop reading there, having read through verse 18. I want to talk about, and my title today will be in the form of a question. And the question is this: who is influencing who? Who is influencing who? And what I mean by that is, are we today, as the people of God, are we influencing the world around us, or is the world around us influencing us? We live just as Paul spoke of in the day that he wrote to the Philippians. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I don't see how anybody could dispute that. And I don't think that that's being pessimistic. I believe that that's just an honest perception of what's happening among us today. We live in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. We live in a time when sin is very much practiced, very openly practiced. There is less shame about sin all the time among the people of this world. And we live, as Paul said here to the Philippians, we live in the midst of this type of people. And I want us to think about in the 26th chapter of Acts, before that I go any further, I want to think about something that the Apostle Paul related to Agrippa when he was telling him of his experience of salvation and his call to the ministry. And he said this is what Jesus told him. He said that the Lord told him that he had appeared unto him for this purpose, to, he said, delivering thee from the people, this is Acts 26, verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, Apostle Paul here, he didn't tell Agrippa that God had called him and sent him to the Gentiles for them to turn him away from the light to the darkness. He said that the Lord told him that he had called him and sent him to turn them away from the darkness and to the light, and to turn them from the power of Satan unto the power of God. And, you know, we read in the Scriptures, just as we find here in the 15th verse of Philippians chapter 2, where we are told here that we are to, even though that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, that we are to shine as lights among them. And this is pretty much the same language that the Lord Jesus employed when we read what statement that he made to his church recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And he had told them, "You're the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, there are things that the Scriptures teach us that we must adhere to. There are things that we must do in order to have the identity, to be identified as the people of God. There are scriptural requirements that we have to meet. We can't act any way that we choose to act and expect to be identified as the people that we are. The Lord has told us that there are things that we must do. And I want to share a few other verses of Scripture here before I go on. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter wrote this concerning the Lord's church. He said, "But ye are a chosen generation." You know, the Greek word for the term church is ekklesia. And what that means is that we are a called out assembly. We have been called of the Lord. He said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now listen, as an individual Christian person, or collectively as a church, we will get in trouble if we don't look different from the world. If we want to fit into the world, if we want to be like the world, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. And you can go back to, I believe it's perhaps 1 Samuel chapter 8, where we read about the nation of Israel, those whom God had chosen to himself as his as an earthly nation. And we can read about a time when they wanted to be like other nations. They wanted to have a king over them like other nations have. You see, God was their king. God was ruling over them. God was guiding them. They had a theocracy, and they decided that they wanted to be like others. And so Samuel, that greatly displeased him. But when he went to the Lord, Samuel said, God told Samuel, if that's what they want, give it to them. But you tell them what the king that will be over them will do to them, how that he will take everything that they have. And yet they chose to have a king over them, and it brought great trouble upon them. In the 17th chapter of John, in verses 14 and 15, this was something that Jesus prayed when he was praying, not long before he went to the cross, when he was praying for his church, and not only those that were present with him at that time, but also those that would come after them. Jesus offered this prayer up to God, and he made this statement concerning his people. He said, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I don't pray for you to take them out of the world, but I pray that you would keep them from the evil. You know, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We are in the world, but we are here to be an influence. We are here to and I believe that what Jesus was praying here was that that God's people would be kept from being influenced by the evil things of this world. Now, Jesus said they've got to be in the world to labor. They've got to be in the world to fulfill the commission that I gave them, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Father, I'm not praying that you would take them out of the world. Listen, if God would have taken you and I out of the world the moment he saved us, it would have been better off for us, wouldn't it? But he left us here to reach others. And so Jesus said, I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but I am asking you to protect them, that they would not be influenced by the evil around them. Just a couple more places. Jesus also said this in the Gospel of John, according to John in chapter 13, in verses 34 and 35, he taught his disciples this. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And let's go back to what the Apostle Paul said that I read from Philippians chapter 2 in verse 15. He said, be blameless, be harmless, be the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And listen, we will never be the influence to the world that we have been left here to be if things are not right among us. If we are not in the center of God's will, if our lives don't line up with His Word, if we are living outside of the instructions that God has given us, if we're not letting our light shine, if we're not letting love prevail, if we're not being brothers and sisters in the Lord in the manner that God has taught us and instructed us in His Word, then we're not going to be an influence to those around us. And listen, we ought to be, when we think about those who are lost and in sin, on their way to eternal damnation, eternal hell, apart and separate from the love and the mercy of God forever and forever. We ought to be, I know that you've heard it said, that Christian people ought to be the happiest people in the world. And certainly that's true in our hearts with what God has done for us. Certainly we ought to be the happiest people in the world, but we ought to be the most burdened people in the world too. We ought to have a great burden for those who are lost and in sin. There should not be anything in our hearts that would stop us from falling down upon our knees and storming the gates of heaven in behalf of those who are not saved. So, Jesus said, shine. It's what He left us here for. Let your light shine before men. That's what He left us here to do. Paul came along and wrote to the Philippians and said the same thing. Let your light shine. You know, doesn't make any difference what's going on around us. Listen, the world, I believe this, the world that we live in is not going to get better. I'm afraid it's going to get worse and worse. I believe sin is going to continue to abound. And if God allows time to continue on, it's just going to become more wicked around us. But listen, we cannot allow that to influence us. We've got to be the influence. Otherwise, this world is really in trouble. You know, the Lord's church is the only institution that God left in the world that had this said about it, that she is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You won't find that in civil government. You won't find that in a fraternity. You won't find that at a country club. You won't find that anywhere else. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the pillar and the ground of the truth, that has the truth to share with people. You know, and listen, when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ really gets burdened and really begins to pray and really begins to pour our hearts out to God, listen, the Lord will hear us and we'll see things as a result of that. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You may not like it, but I'll tell you exactly what I believe. I believe that when we met here last week, I preached a very simple message about the love and the mercy of God. We had two young people that began to seek the Lord. And I really believe that our hearts were bound to where we. I know that some of us met up here and we knelt, but I don't think that we poured out our hearts to God the way that we should as His people. We need liberty. We need liberty, and we need a burden. You know what? We can play the blame game. People started playing it years ago. In fact, the first people on earth played it. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. You know, it's easy to blame everything on somebody else. That's the easy way out. When Adam sinned in the garden, And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid themselves. They were afraid when they heard that, and they hid themselves. And when God came to Adam, and he called him, and he said, where are you, Adam? And God called upon Adam to answer to him. What was it that Adam did when God said, who was it that told you that you were naked? Have you done that? Have you eaten of that fruit? Have you disobeyed the law that I gave you? What did Adam do? He said, the woman that you gave me. You know, and honestly, he wasn't just blaming it on Eve. He was really blaming God. The woman that you gave me, she gave me that, and I did eat. And he turned to the woman, and he said, well, what have you done? And she said, well, the serpent. You know, the serpent, he beguiled me, and I did eat. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe when you find a situation anywhere, whether it's in the Lord's church or whether it's in the workplace or wherever it is, when you find a situation where somebody is wanting to blame everything on somebody else, it's usually because they feel their own infirmities. It makes you feel a little bit better. It makes you feel a little bit justified in yourself to blame it on somebody else. I think that's exactly what Adam did. He wanted to lay it off on Eve. Eve wanted to lay it off on the serpent. But you know what? Listen. There's never healing until we take personal responsibility. We don't get better. You know, listen, the world that we live in today, they are in protest. Oh, if I don't get my way, if the election, the presidential election don't go my way, I won't accept it. I'll just protest. I'll just continue to make noise about it. I won't accept what the nation has done. He's not my president. That's the attitude of people today. They're blocking streets and all kinds of stuff that should never be done. Adult people should never act that way. God help us if we become that way in the Lord's church. You know what? People live trying lives. People work jobs where every day where there's all kinds of negative things. People work jobs where there's always things that are hard to deal with. Somebody's always coming up with some type of new policy or something that makes it hard for the workers. People face hardships in their lives. People have things happen in their families that brings hardships upon them, and people do not want to come and face that at church. It's a sanctuary, isn't it? It's a place to come and escape some of those things. It's a place to come for a while and unite our hearts and escape some of those things together that we go through out there, that we face out there. It's a place to feel love and mutual respect and to act like Christian people. All of us. Do we fail? From time to time, sure, but we're without excuse. Because we have been given all the instruction that we need. Been told exactly what we are to be. Listen, if you're a child of God and you don't want to be different, if you're a child of God and you don't want to be a peculiar person, if you want to be like the world, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in big trouble. If the world is influencing you and not the other way around, you're in trouble. You're not doing a thing for the Lord. I believe that it gets harder and harder, it seems, to identify who we really are. And that should not be the case. And so let's remember these instructions. We're to be wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. We are to be blameless and harmless right in the middle, right in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. We are to influence. You know, listen, there ought to be something about us that would make other people want it. They ought to see things in us that would make them desire to be saved. If we have to go around with words and proclaim ourselves to be Christians, we're in trouble. It ought to be seen in our lives. Who is really having the influence? Is the church influencing this world, or is the world influencing us? I'll let you deal with that question. Let's have a song.